My name is Stuart Mazzell. I'm the pastor here. It's good to see all of you here in person, and thank you for joining us online, those of you who are doing that. We started last week with a new series called Devoted, and we're looking at the last part of Acts chapter 2. So if you want to turn in a Bible, you can do that, and you can turn to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. If you would prefer to see it on the screen, you can do that as well. Last week we talked about how the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and how that was foundational and important. Today, we are going to actually jump to the end of verse 42 to talk about prayer. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about why that happened early on and how God is using that, I believe. But in the meantime, let's read what God's Word has to say from Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And they, that is the early disciples who came to faith on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Let me pray for us. Father, we are always thankful that you have given us your word, your truth. Would you sanctify us by it today? Would you help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to us in and through your word? Would you give us not only ears to hear, but a heart that will receive, a life that will receive what is good for us, that we will live in light of who you are and what you've done for us in Christ. And Jesus, as I ask many times, would you be the one that preaches to us today? We don't need to hear my voice. We need to hear your voice, because we are your sheep. And you are our good shepherd. Will you help us to hear your voice today and to respond in faith, repentance, and fuller obedience to you in living the way that you call us to live? And this we ask in your name, Jesus, and for your glory along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do you feel about prayer? When you know that the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or whoever it might be that's doing a Bible study says, we're going to talk about prayer today, what's your first reaction? Are you thinking, wow, I really enjoy praying. I'm glad that we're talking about this. Do you think, well, my prayer life is so fulfilling and satisfying that I'm not sure that I need to hear this? Or do you feel indifferent? Do you feel bored with prayer? Do you feel frustrated by prayer? Maybe a little confused by it? It seems strange to you? Maybe you're not a believer and you're thinking, well, what's this prayer thing all about? It just seems like you're just talking to yourself. Maybe you feel guilty, a little shame that your prayer life doesn't live up to what you think it should. Maybe you think, oh, not another talk about prayer. Prayer is so difficult as it is. I don't really want more rules on how to pray. I can't follow the ones I already know. Do you find yourself thinking, you know what, my prayers are primarily perfunctory anyway? That's a great phrase to say three times fast, by the way. Primarily perfunctory prayers. Try it at home. When you pray, do you find yourself frustrated because you just seem to get so easily distracted? One minute you're praying to Almighty God, the creator of the entire universe, and the next minute you're thinking about that show you want to watch on Netflix. Or what happened today at the office. Or what you hear going on in the next room. Do you ever struggle with what to say in prayer? Do you find yourself thinking, I've got too much to do to pray. Prayer is not really an option for me. I'm too busy. Or maybe you don't think about prayer at all. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, prayer's not even on my radar. It's not something that I think about at all. It's just not a part of my life in any sense. Prayer is one of those weird things religious people do, and I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. All I know is no matter where you're coming from and no matter what you're thinking when we say we're going to talk about prayer today, I know from my own experience that when we start talking about prayer and what Scripture says, what God says about prayer, people start to feel uncomfortable. And they, you know, wiggle a little bit. They think, ugh, is this going to hurt? Is this guy going to step on my toes, so to speak? Is he going to say something that's going to make me feel guilty or ashamed or whatever? I know that that is what happens, and I'm hoping that today will not be like that for you. And at the same time, I hope it will be encouragement that prayer is something good that we all want to be a part of. Because I think if I was to go around the room and everybody who's ever been churched for any short period of time, I think we all know that we should pray, that prayer is vital, that prayer is important, that prayer is something we're supposed to do, but we probably all admit that prayer is more of a struggle for us than we'd like to admit. Can I get a witness? I know it's true for me. Why is it that it's so much easier to be devoted to that show on Netflix that you want to watch from beginning to end than it is talking to your Father in heaven who loves you? Why is it so much easier to be devoted to your sports team and watch every single game than it is to be devoted to praying to the God who gave His Son? Why is it that prayer can be so hard? Well, I don't think we're going to answer all those questions today, but it is important for us to recognize this is where we're all coming from. I'd be surprised if there's anyone in this room who came to me and said, Stuart, I don't need any instruction on prayer. I've got it down. I am a prayer warrior genius. And if you are, I would like to trade places with you, and I'd like for you to preach this sermon. Because I will admit, prayer can be a struggle for me too. And it's my job to pray. So, having said all that, there is one thing that we can see from this passage, and that's that God calls us to devote ourselves to prayer. Prayer may be difficult, prayer may be hard, prayer may be a struggle for us, but God calls us to devote ourselves to it, right? We see that in verse 42. The early church, they have just become believers in the Lord Jesus. These folks who heard Peter's message of Jesus who died and rose from the dead, and they said, what do we do? And he says, you know, be baptized and believe in the Lord Jesus, Because the promise is for you and for your children and for those who are far off. And so they did. And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And they devoted themselves to prayer. And this makes sense, right? Because if you think about it, what did God call the temple back in the what we call the Old Testament? He said, "My house will be a house of prayer for all nations." And we don't have a temple anymore because we, the believers, we are the temple. And so we are to be a house of prayer for all the nations. Think about what happens later on in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, there's this time when there was this controversy and situation that happened in the early church, and the apostles are trying to figure out what to do. And once they've decided, okay, we want you to do this part, but this is what we're going to do, Acts chapter 6, verse 4, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. They recognized that prayer was important. Paul, the apostle, often talks about prayer. Just two passages, Colossians 4, he says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, he actually says that phrase, "Pray without ceasing." And then the Lord Jesus himself taught a lot about prayer, and one of my favorites is when he tells a parable to his disciples to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And he talks about a lady who just keeps pestering a judge. "Give me justice. Give me what I need." And the judge finally says, he's exasperated, and he says, "Sure, I'll give it to you." And then Jesus basically is saying, if that's the way it is with a human judge, what do you think it's really like for the God who loves you, for the God who wants justice more than anyone, for the God who wants to give you good gifts? He's a good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. You know how to give good gifts to your own children, and you're evil. That's Jesus saying that. And if that's the case, how much more is God our Father giving us good things when we ask? So we all know that we're to devote ourselves to prayer. But one of the things that I think helps us, or I should say hinders us from devoting ourselves, is that we narrow what prayer is really about. We think that prayer is mainly just kind of one thing. And unfortunately in the church, prayer can be this, it should be this really big, wide, wonderful thing, and somehow it gets reduced to, let's pray for those who are sick. And I'm not saying that's wrong to pray for those who are sick. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it kind of gets reduced to that. Think about the story where a man walks up to a priest and he says, "Will you please pray for my hearing?" And the priest says, "Of course." And he puts his hands on the man's ears and he prays for his hearing fervently and with lots of zeal. And then he pulls his hands away from his ears and he says, "So tell me, how's your hearing now?" And the man says, "Well, I don't know. It's next week." Got to think about it. Think about it. It's not hearing with the ear, but a hearing before a judge. I see nods now. Okay, good, good. Yeah, see, even that priest, he heard the word hearing, and the first thing he thinks of is healing for a sickness, because that's what we tend to do with prayer. We reduce it to, let's pray for Aunt Sarah's broken toenail that's ingrown, and it's just causing her a lot of pain. And there's nothing wrong with praying for that. There really isn't. In fact, the scriptures tell us that we can pray about anything. But if we can pray about anything, why would we reduce it to simply that? Right? If we're going to devote ourselves to prayer, let's remember this is the God who Scripture says can do more than we can even ask or imagine. This is the God who can speak the entire universe into existence simply by saying words. And we, when we pray, we ask Him to do things. Can you imagine what that could be like if we really believed that God answers our prayers for more than just an ingrown toenail? You see, prayer serves many purposes. Not just healing, but prayer serves many purposes. We see that prayer is a means to receiving physical healing, but it's to receive all kinds of good things from our Father. In fact, really, if you think about it, prayer is one of the means by which we receive what God has promised. Over and over in the Scriptures, you see, when people pray, what they do is they say, God, you promised, and it doesn't look like your promise is coming through. Come through on your promise. Right? That's what we see throughout the Scriptures. And yes, prayer is a way of crying out to God when life seems to be confusing and chaotic and cruel. I really appreciate this quote from Abraham Lincoln, who saw his own confusing, chaotic, cruel time during the Civil War. He said, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Have you ever felt that way? Where you just felt like, I have to pray because there's nowhere else to go. I don't have the wisdom to figure this out. Nobody I know has the wisdom to figure this out. There's no other place to go but to God. I can tell you, a good number of people felt like that last week. When we saw something that probably none of us thought we would ever see in our lifetime. So prayer is asking God for things, yes, for healing, for goodness, for giving us wisdom, for fixing this mess that we're in, but prayer is also a means of growth. One of the things that I've looked for where this quote came from, and I cannot find a definitive, I'll say that, author, because different people attribute it to different people. But the quote goes, the function of prayer is not so much to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. The function of prayer is not so much to influence God, but to change the nature of the one who prays. Have you ever sat down to pray about a situation, and by the end of your prayer, you found out that you were changed? Your situation didn't change. You changed. But the one thing that I have been chewing on for a little bit now is how prayer is so much more than just asking God for stuff, asking God to intervene. That prayer is fellowship with the God who made us. That fellowship is really part of resting in the love that our Father has for us, that prayer is really something so beautiful and special. Because we get to commune and communicate and sit in the presence of and know the love of the God who created all things and who loves us. In fact, this quote has been, you know how a song gets in your head and you just kind of like can't get it out? Like this morning, unfortunately, I got Sweet Child of Mine in Nathan's head and he can't get it out. He might start singing it during the service. I hope not, but he might. There's this quote by Timothy Chester in the book, The Message of Prayer, that has been rolling around in my brain for several weeks now. And here's the quote, and I want to read this to you just so that you can, I hope that it has the impact on you that it had on me. Okay, here we go. Prayer is the conversation of friends. It is not a mere convenience for letting God know what we are thinking or what we want. Prayer is that for which we were made. It's that last line. It's been rolling around. Prayer is that for which we were made. Is that the way you think about prayer? Is that the way I think about prayer? I think most of us, when we think about prayer, we've got a list, the prayer list, and we go down the prayer list and pray for all these people. And that's good. I don't want to downplay that. That's a good thing. That's a good practice. But what this is saying, and I think it is true, it is biblical, it has its heart in what the scriptures actually say, that prayer is that for which we were made, because we were made to have fellowship with God. We were created to walk with Him in the garden, so to speak. We were created to spend time with our Maker and to know Him and for Him to know us and for us to have fellowship and friendship with God. And we messed it up with our sin. And that's part of what I hope will push us in a good direction today, is that one of the things that may not be obvious to us is how the good news of Jesus connects to prayer. This is, I think, eye-opening and heart-opening and all kinds of opening. It causes us to just go, wow, instead of, ugh, when we think about prayer. Because prayer can often seem like a duty than a delight. Prayers, we think of, oh, it's another obligation that's been placed upon me and I've got to do this in order to be a good Christian. But listen, the good news of Jesus connects to prayer. How is that? Well, think about it. Prayer is that for which we were made. We were made, we were created by God to have fellowship with Him. That fellowship was broken by sin. And in order to bring us back into fellowship with Him, in order to reconcile us back to Himself, what did God the Father do? He sent the Lord Jesus. He sent His Son to live this perfect life of righteousness, to die in our place, to take the curse of sin upon Himself, and then to be buried and then to rise again to give us access to our Father. There was tension and enmity. There was rebellion. We didn't want anything to do with God. In fact, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, we hide when God starts coming around. And Jesus comes on the scene and he takes away the shame, he takes away the guilt, he takes away the evil, he takes away our sin at the cross, and then he gives us new life, and then he ascends into heaven and he sits down at the right hand of God, and he is always there to intercede on our behalf. Right? This is the gospel, this is the good news, and because of that, like the author of Hebrews says, we can approach the throne of grace with boldness. We can be bold in coming in to God's presence, not because I'm good, not because I've got it all together, not because I figured out the prayer pattern that's going to work for me, not for any reason that has to do with me, it's all about Jesus. What he's done. We can approach the throne of grace with boldness because of Jesus, and we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. You know, I've been thinking about, most of you know by now that the Mazzells had our little COVID scare or whatever. We had a little COVID going through our house, and for some reason, We still don't understand this. Donna came down with COVID, but none of the rest of us ever got a positive test. She got the positive test. I got tested 3 times, and it never showed that I had COVID. I don't understand that. That's weird to me. But I will say this. What if there is a test, not to check for COVID, but to check that we really believe that the good news is connected to prayer. The good news of Jesus is connected to prayer. What if there was a test to kind of give us a little insight into what's really going on, to see if there's Jesus in the midst of our prayers? I think there kind of is. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you tend to think that your prayers are better if you pray for a long time? Maybe you think that if you fast when you pray, that will cause God to answer your prayers. Or maybe you think, if I'm godly enough, God will hear me and will answer my prayer. Or maybe you think, if I just had the right words to say, God will listen. And so if I get those right words, he'll hear what I say and he'll do what I ask him to do, but otherwise he won't. Do you hear any gospel in that? Do you hear any good news in that? You know what that is? That is works. That is us saying, it's all dependent upon me. The good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that Jesus has gone into the presence of God as the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins and has given us access to our Father that cannot be taken away from us and it cannot be hindered. And so we come as children, coming to our Daddy, coming to our Father and saying, here I am, this is what I need, I just want to spend some time with you. I think we've got a lot of growing to do when it comes to how we think about our prayer. Because this is amazing that the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God who is just and righteous and holy and cannot be accessed by sinful people, has allowed us, has caused us as sinful people to be able to come into his presence through Jesus. That's some good news, folks. That's some great news. And then when our prayers are fueled and shaped by this gospel of Christ, I guarantee you, in fact, the scriptures guarantee you that we will see the power of the Spirit at work in us and around us. We will see the Spirit at work in powerful ways when the gospel is shaping and fueling our prayers. Take a look at this passage, what was happening. I know this might make some of us Presbyterians go, whoa, what are you talking about there, Stuart? But look at the passage. They devoted themselves to these things, including prayer, and what happened? All came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. Now, yeah, we can say all kinds of things about that, but you know what a wonder and a sign would be today? To see people come to faith. That would be an amazing thing that we could see, because that is a miracle, to see people healed of disease. And we've seen that in this church. We have. And then look and see what happened. Look at how the people have changed. They who believed together, they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and belongings and distributed the needs to people. Have you ever seen anything like that? And then they met every day. They attended the temple every day. They broke bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. They praised God. They had favor with all the people. That didn't last long, but at least here, they had favor with people. And then the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What would it look like? What would we do as a church if God started adding people to our church every single day? We wouldn't know what to do with them. Maybe that's why He doesn't. But we, as a people, when our prayers are shaped and fueled by the gospel, we will see the power of God at work among us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Now, just a couple of things before we tidy this up. How do we devote ourselves to prayer? It's real simple. A couple of things. Well, several things. One, why don't you plan to pray? Just plan to pray. We all, look, if God has done the hard work of making access to Him, even though we're sinners, and He's given us that access to Him through the Lord Jesus, the least we can do is say, hey, you know, I'm going to plan to pray today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We make plans for all kinds of other things. Why wouldn't we pray? Make plans to pray? First. Second, don't worry so much about as what to say as just spend time communicating with your Heavenly Father who loves you. You want to devote yourselves to prayer? Don't worry so much about, am I praying the right words? Am I saying the right things? Just come to God and say, okay, I'm here. I'm praying. I don't know if I'm saying this right or doing this right, but I just want to spend time with you. Third, pray in community. I don't know about you guys, but I need to pray with people, not just pray by myself. There is a time and a place for that, but sometimes we need each other to help fuel us in gospel prayer and good news prayer. So pray in community. Pray in your life groups. Hey, look, there's a Zoom prayer time that happens every Tuesday and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And I know that some of you can't do that because of the time. But if you're able to do that at least every once in a while, zoom in. It would be good. I'm hoping that we will start, instead of starting back another Sunday school class to learn some more lessons, I'm hoping that at least for now, we're going to take some time on Sunday mornings to pray. And there'll be more information coming out this week about that. But just, we want to have some time to pray. And I think we need to pray. Look and see what's happened around us the last year. Goodness gracious, we need to pray. And then we're having a prayer vigil today at 3 p.m. And I want to say this to you, and I know, you know, some of you are going to say, oh, this is just coincidence. But the original plan when I started this series was to just go straight through. We start with the apostles' teaching, then we talk about fellowship, then we talk about breaking of bread. The last one is about prayer. But back in December, before Donna got COVID and we did our COVIDcation, somewhere in there, I said, you know what? I think we need to switch prayer and fellowship. So I'll talk about that later, and I'll talk about prayer first, because I think prayer is more important for us to talk about right now. And then look at this week, what's happened. And as soon as, and I got this call from Marion Newton over at Jehovah Missionary Baptist, and he said, hey, we're going to have a prayer vigil. He didn't know that I'm talking about prayer. We're going to have a prayer vigil this afternoon at 3 p.m. And I'm going, alarm bells are going off in my head. God is up to something. God is doing something. Let's get in there with him and see what he does. Just by praying. So, by the help of the Spirit, let's devote ourselves to prayer with anticipation of what God can do and will do among us. Let me pray for us. Lord, we want to devote ourselves to prayer, and we anticipate that you will do things even beyond what we can ask or imagine. Help us to really believe that and to live that out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.